Thank you for joining us again for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. Satellite Nation is a weekly call-in show geared towards the hobby side of all things television. Brought to you by Satellite Guys Radio. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Brian.
Good evening, Satellite Nation. I'm Brian Gohl, a.k.a. Titanium.
And I'm Michael Graves, K-E-4-E-S-T. Good evening, Satellite Nation. Now, Brian, you had an opportunity to interview someone this week that had been in the satellite industry for many years and is a vice president now of a leading IP video service provider.
Yes.
Is satellite backhaul, uplink trucks, and satellite distribution of programming becoming a thing of the past?
You know, as a Satellite Nation will soon hear, IP services are certainly revolutionizing the way that live events are covered and the way the content is being distributed. But, you know, satellite backhauls and distribution will continue to have a market. But companies like LTN Global Communications, they certainly are providing services that offer superior reliability and really are an incredible value.
So is it time for Satellite Nation to sell their satellite systems?
Are you getting rid of yours? I'm not. No, not at all. Jeff Witaska, he's the vice president of business development at LTN. He's going to let us know how they're working alongside the satellite distribution industry and how they can offer incredibly robust delivery of backhauls and program delivery. LTN is actually expanding the amount of content that's being collected. They're working alongside broadcasters like ESPN, CNN, Fox, many others to move massive amounts of high quality content. And, you know, that's really just translates into more for Satellite Nation to view.
Well, I can't wait to hear the interview. All right. Thank you, Satellite Nation, for your suggestions for the Tech Corner segment featured in the second half of the show. We're going to open up phone lines then and about 40 minutes or so, I guess. And we're going to be talking about better ways you can improve your SDR receiver or your scanner. For the antenna part, it usually comes with a little cheap antenna that's really, I don't know if you really call it an antenna. So we're going to tell you better ways to hook it up and alternatives. And some of them is a lot cheaper than you think, or you might already have it and not even think you do. So you want to stay tuned and listen for that and even call in if you have a question about it or tell us how you did it. If you'll write this number down, if you don't already know it, then so you can call us, 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728. 4897. Now, if you live outside the U.S. or if you want to save us a few bucks, you can call us at 347-327-9319.
Now, if you miss a Satellite Nation show or you just want to hear it again, yeah, why wouldn't you? You can find a link after each show on the Satellite Guys Radio Forum, and that's on www.satelliteguys.us. Now, if you're not already a member of Satellite Guys, we invite you to stop by, check out the mini forums there. You know, check out www.satelliteguys.us.
Well, let's get started, Brian. Let's roll that interview. Let's find out about IP television backhauls and program distribution.
Today I'm talking with Jeff Witaska, Vice President, Business Development, LTN Global Communications. Thank you for joining us today, Jeff.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to talk to you.
Now, a little bit about you and the history and what we're going to be talking about tonight. For many years, we've known each other in the satellite industry. But a few years ago, I know you joined another company, and we're going to be talking about that company this evening. But let's kind of give a big overall view of what satellite distribution is used for and what IP distribution is used for.
Well, there's kind of a convergence right now, Brian. Satellite for many, many years and through today is used mainly for point-to-point live events and for point-to-multipoint where you're talking, you know, one signal going to many people. Over the past couple of years, IP's really kind of taken a foothold, and there's a gentleman I know, one of our clients said to me, Jeff, I was hoping to retire before this IP generation would come come to the forefront, but he's too late. He's still there, and IP's really kind of taken over. So, satellite is still there, but IP is a technology that is really growing and, again, has a good foothold in the marketplace.
Now, just so everybody knows, you're not just an IP salesman. I mean, you and I go back many, many years. What, about, I think, about 15 years?
Yeah, about 15. It's been a long time.
Now, you previously were with Pittsburgh Communications as the chief sales officer. Now, while you were there, you know, satellite was the reigning distribution. Now, what is causing this change from satellite to IP?
Well, a number of reasons, Brian, is first of all, you know, satellite does have limitations. There's latency issues, especially when we're talking live news. Everyone's seen that feed come from Europe when the Bill O'Reillys or the Larry Kings of the world would ask a question, and it would take a second or two for someone to respond. So that's the first thing with that. And the second thing is, technology just is moving forward. And today you can use IP. It's a standard that everyone's getting used to. And it's a worldwide opportunity versus, satellites only cover about a third of the world. So by using our technology, you can take feeds anywhere in the world without having to worry about bouncing off of multiple satellites, which reduces cost. And that's really what people are looking at, is reducing cost as well as ease of use.
So let's dig into exactly what is LTN Global Communications. What services do you provide to your customers? So let's approach this from the person. Let's just assume the person listening to us today never has heard of IP distribution. So let's kind of give a primer for them.
Sure. Well, LTN Global can be compared to a satellite company and compared to a fiber company, because we do both point-to-point and point-to-multipoint. The technology we use is IP, but what makes LTN different than the old, software or a box-to-box type solution is that LTN is the only company that has a fully managed private IP backbone network. We have a series of what we call super nodes located throughout the world, and these are our own nodes that we mesh together with our own private bandwidth. So that instead of riding on the open internet with IP from a box-to-box or just using software, LTN controls the signal all the way through from the receive point or the send point through the receive point. Now, in addition to that backbone network, instead of having software on somebody's laptop, we put an LTN appliance at both send and receive locations. And our software runs from that appliance to the nearest node on a public IP address. But once it hits our backbone network, then we can route that anywhere in the world on our backbone network that nobody else can do.
Now, what is the benefit to going through your private network rather than going box to box, point to point?
Well, there's, the internet was not made for video, number one, and there's no quality of service on the internet. By having our own private IP backbone network, we can control that signal and provide five nines of reliability and give that quality of service that no one else can do. Additionally, because we have that backbone network, we have very low latency on our networks between 3 and 500 milliseconds, including the encode and the decode. And we don't need big bandwidth issues. So, a lot of these guys, if you're on a box-to-box, if you're sending a 5-meg signal or a 10-meg signal, you need double, triple, sometimes, 100% more bandwidth.
Right.
That is in order to send those signals, so you send a lot of packets. LTN only needs a maximum of 25% overhead, so your bandwidth size is a much lower requirement than compared to the other solutions that are out there.
Okay, so a 25% overhead. Let's put this into perspective. Say I am a broadcaster. I'm wanting to get something in the field back to my studio. I'm running just a typical HD camera, let's say 720p, and I just want good image quality without much, bizarre, blurry, blah, blah going on in the background. What should I look for when I'm looking for that initial IP, public IP, to get it back to your node?
Good question. But I first want to say, on the LTN network, we correct that fuzziness and that blurriness, as you said, in the backbone, which makes us, unique. Okay. But for an HD signal, our customers are doing anywhere from 5 to 10 megabits per second HD. So you need anywhere from 7 to, 12 and a half megs of upload speed on that link of public internet to bring it back through the LTN network and bring it back to the broadcaster.
Okay. Now, I know in the past, in order to do a backhaul, you'd have to have a dedicated fiber or just a dedicated line. So what you're telling me is if I have public internet available where I'm at, there's probably some quality or a level of service that I have to have, but it sounds like it could be linked up anywhere that there's broadband?
Pretty much. We have basically what you need is business class internet with a static IP address. And as long as that can be dedicated to our network, our customers are in good shape. We have customers that are running, you know, 2 or 3 megs. So they have a 5 meg cable modem type upload. And we have other customers that have a dedicated internet of, you know, gigabit traffic. They allocate part of that internet pipe to us. And they both work pretty well.
Okay. Now, who are your customers and why do they use the LTN service?
Well, you know who our customers are. Your listeners will know who our customers are. And you've seen us without even knowing that you've seen the LTN network in use. All the major broadcasters right now use LTN for live shots. We have over 200 studios, live shot studios in the United States. So when you see an expert such as, you know, Dennis Miller, every Wednesday night, I believe he's on Fox with Bill O'Reilly. I think it's called Miller Time. He's in an LTN connected studio in California. Bill O'Reilly asked him questions in the New York studio, and they talk live back and forth, just like you and I are talking over this phone line. So all the major broadcasters, you know, Fox, CNN, CNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, Al Jazeera America, PBS, they all have our appliances and decoders and encoders at their location so they can send and receive the LTN signal. The main reason, Brian, is a couple of things. It's quality. It's very high quality. It's worldwide. And cost. You know, we're much less expensive than most of the other live shot companies that are out there.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned live shot studios. Now, somebody that a lot of our listeners are used to or know is Ralph Black. Ralph Black has Access America, which our radio show is heard on Galaxy 19. Now, you've known Ralph for many years, I believe, as well.
Yes, I have. He was a customer of mine when I was at Pittsburgh Teleport a few years back. And now Ralph has a live shot studio down in New Orleans, and that's connected to the LTN network. So, you know, any one of the broadcasters, when they want to have a guest from that area, will go into our online booking form, will select the city, state and city, and can select Ralph's studio, for example. And then on that online booking form, they will then select the bit rate, the time, you know, the length of the shot, and then hit submit. And at that particular time, LTN turns on, and Ralph puts the guest in the chair, and all those broadcasters I mentioned before will then start talking to the guest in Ralph's studio.
I come from a background of I roll up in a uplink truck, roll out the cables, hook up a phone line, call in on my cell, and hopefully get a good audio return so the person in the studio can talk to the person in the field. What are the benefits to these live studios over, say, rolling a truck into someone's office?
The main thing is cost. You know, satellite trucks are expensive, and they're time-consuming of having a person get in the truck, drive to wherever that location is. So we have live shots studios, which are public live shots like Ralph's, like we just discussed. But we also have corporations that their CEO will get on and talk to, you know, the CNBC guys or Fox Business or CNN. So they, you know, install an LTN appliance with a compatible encoder in their office. Mm-hmm. And they're on net. And basically anytime they want to use us, you know, the network just dials them up just like I talked about booking on the online booking form with Ralph.
Right.
They will pick that company turn on their cameras, and they're connected to LTN.
Interesting.
Now, what else is interesting is we also come with a fly pack. So we actually, in place of an uplink truck, we can now send a hardened case for with an LTN appliance, an encoder, and a decoder to any location that has, again, a static IP address. So for things like NFL training camps or corporate communications or trials that you know that are going to happen, people have used us, used our fly pack for that instance. And for one of the big ones, I always call it the Super Bowl for Catholics, is a few years back when the Pope retired and the new Pope was being elected at the conclave, Fox News sent instead of an uplink truck and using satellite, or dedicated fiber, they use the LTN fly pack from Vatican City. So for almost 18 days, Shepard Smith did every live shot from the Vatican City back to Fox News New York, then up on the air using the LTN fly pack. So again, you know, the Fox News counted on us to deliver. That's a big news story, and we did deliver.
Excellent. Okay. Now, you talk about fly packs, and I'm from the satellite background. I remember these fly packs that would be shipped out to me. It was something as a camera operator I typically wouldn't be setting up. There would be a RF tech that would come in and do the setup for me. Is it that difficult with your fly packs?
No, not really. It's plug and play. We get information, the IP configuration form, we call it, prior to the event. We pre-program that into the fly pack, and we ship it to the location. So you don't need a tech, because what happens, Brian, is once you get to that location, you basically plug it in, turn it on, and plug in your internet connection, and then it shows up on our network. So our guys back at the NOC, our technicians, which we do have a 24/7 NOC, can log into that location, into that appliance, and they can do any configurations and any testing without having to spend the money to fly somebody there. Wow. Now, we have had some occasions where, you know, people do send it with a technician, but that is really not necessary. It depends on the level of comfort of the people that are at that particular location.
So what you're telling me is if I get to the location and I'm having some trouble configuring to get back to you, you're able to then remotely do something?
Yes. First of all, again, the fly pack's pre-configured. Mm-hmm. But if there's an issue, there's also a modem in the fly pack, so our guys can dial in, and then from that way they can configure the fly pack.
Wow, very good. Okay, now we had talked about CNN. Now I understood that a recent network launch used a fly pack from you mentioned the Bahamas.
That was actually an event that just occurred last week where the SEC network was launching on ESPN from the Bahamas. It was the Kentucky basketball team was down there, and mm-hmm. they played several games. But because of some uplink issues on satellite, rain fade mainly on the KU side, fiber not being available on the island, they selected to use the LTN fly pack. And LTN delivered the Kentucky basketball games back to ESPN. And, we went on the main network as well as ESPN3, ESPNU. The signal was very good, and the ESPN was very happy with it.
Very interesting. Okay, now, fly packs, are they difficult to get a hold of, difficult to book? What time frame is involved if I wanted to schedule an event, get a fly pack out there, and go live back to my broadcast studio?
Well, we have an inventory of fly packs, and depending on, you know, what's going on in the world or how many are booked, they're usually available. And I always say, Brian, we do what's best for the customer. Our engineers don't like to hear that. Again, I'm not an engineer. I'm on the sales side. But, we've done stuff very quickly. But we usually say a week or 2 weeks, prior, as long as you have some advanced knowledge. Do we pre-program it, ship it, make sure it gets there tested? But we've done things on much shorter notice. Again, the engineers don't like to do that. As any engineer, whether you're a satellite engineer or a fiber engineer, you always want to make sure it works fine. And that's something about the LTN network. You know, we pride ourselves on having very high quality signals. So we want to make sure the signals are good, and we don't want to do anything that degrades not only the signal, but the customer satisfaction with that signal. So, as much time as we can get, we'll take, but we can do things on short notice if needed.
Now, we're mostly talking to this point about backhaul services. What else? What other services do you provide other than just backhaul?
Well, we provide a couple other services. We're talking about OU services right now, occasional use services. We're talking backhaul. We work with corporations such as Microsoft, where we take they use our fly packs back to Redmond for broadcast, and they actually convert that into their backbone network for their web-based system. So we do that kind of services. We also do point-to-multipoint. We do distribution deals. We're connected to DirecTV, for example. We connect, and that's kind of a backhaul service, but it's a full-time signal back to DirecTV. And we have several customers, such as Lilly Broadcasting, where we do a full-time distribution where we'll take their signal from their feed out of Erie, Pennsylvania, then drop it off to multiple cable head ends in the Caribbean, mainly Puerto Rico and, St. Lucia and some other locations. We also drop that signal off to DirecTV. And what's unique about the LTN network, Brian, is you ingest a 10 meg signal. And by the way, our signal can be SD, HD, 4K, 3D. It doesn't make a difference. It's all bandwidth to us, as long as it's an MPEG transport stream. But once you adjust that signal to, say, 10 megabits, it's in our network at 10 megabits. So we can drop it off at multiple locations at 10 megabits in each location. So, you know, if you're going to 10 sites, you don't need 10 times 10 on your bandwidth. You don't need 100 megs of bandwidth. You need the 10 megs one time, and then we drop it off at each location simultaneously anywhere in the world at 10 megabits.
Which is an important consideration, because if you're doing a live from an event, you are going to probably be very limited to the amount of bandwidth available to up. So if you're going point to point, you're pretty much out of the game after you get one or two sites signing in to watch your stream.
That's correct. And that's not the way it is with us. You know, again, you ingest at one time, we drop it off in multiple locations.
Okay. Now, going through your website, I saw some terms like smart cloud. What is, you know, everything is a cloud this, iCloud, you know, everything that I have is basically connected to the cloud. Not sure why or for what reason, but it sounds cool. What is smart cloud?
Well, smart cloud is basically our private, fully managed private IP backbone network. That is our series of super nodes that are, again, right over top. So it's kind of cloud-based that you connect via that appliance and then connect through the a local internet connection. So our smart cloud is not the open internet, but it's our private, fully managed network. And the only way to get into that network is to have one of our appliances. So, you know, to hack into it, it's just not like open internet. Right. You have security on that level, as well as we also have encryption on our network. That if some of our customers do decide to use that, that's a function of our appliance. They can we can turn that on. So from the ingestion at the send site, it gets encrypted all the way through the last mile to our smart cloud, our backbone network. It's encrypted all the way through our network. Then on the receive side, it's encrypted all the way through that last mile to our appliance that gets unencrypted. So there's several layers of encryption, you know, that way. I do also want to mention our network's fully redundant. And, you know, a lot of times what happens on fiber is you're going to a point to point. If something happens to that fiber, you're out of luck. On satellite, if it rains, you've got that one point, you're out of luck. By using the last mile of an internet connection, we can then determine where our software determines where that signal gets sent. So let's say I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm sending a signal from Pittsburgh to Los Angeles, and it goes, you know, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Denver, L.A. That's through our super nodes going out to L.A. But something happens in Chicago. You know, it's oversubscribed because we get a lot of business coming out of Chicago at that time, or there's a fire at the NOC. Well, our network automatically senses that and says, I'm not going to go to Chicago. I'm going to send it through Atlanta. So go Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Denver, L.A., and the customer never sees that. And because of that, that built-in redundancy, you know, our network, knock on wood, has really never gone down. You know, in the past, a few years back, you may remember Netflix was off the air for 3 or 4 hours because the Akamai backbone went down.
Right.
Because something happened in the Washington, D.C. area. It was bad storms. Well, we route around that, and that happens automatically. So, you know, while certain nodes, we can pull down certain nodes for maintenance or whatever, we can route around those all the time. So our network really has been, you know, very, very bulletproof.
Now, on latency, when you're doing point to point, I would be sending video, and by the time it travels through from Sacramento to Kansas City to Atlanta and then up to New York, then when the signal gets to New York and some information is missing, then it has to send a signal back to say, hey, resend this data. And then is that what causes a lot of buffering or latency issues on backhauls?
Yes, but not on the LTN network.
Now, how are you different?
Well, because we have the backbone network, you know, the network is very important to the way we do things. So, you know, typically you have to either have much bigger pipes, as I talked about earlier, you know, double, triple the size of the stream, so you can send a heck of a lot more packets to lower the latency, but you need a lot more bandwidth. On the LTN network, you only need that 25%, up to 25%, because we do node-to-node data recovery. So again, if we're going from Pittsburgh to Chicago to Denver to LA, when it gets to Denver, we said we lost some packets. It doesn't wait till it goes to LA all the way back to Pittsburgh and resend it again. It goes back from Denver back to Chicago and it resends that way. So our supernodes are about 10 milliseconds apart. That's how we determine how much bandwidth we need.
Okay.
Again, we have gigabit connections between all our supernodes. But if it gets over that 10 milliseconds, we get more bandwidth between those. So you're only going back, 20 milliseconds round trip instead of going all the way across the country, already back again, which adds to the latency.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Very good point. Now, what are the benefits to selecting a IP service such as LTN over satellite for a backhaul? You had talked about cost effectiveness. What is the difference in cost?
Well, the difference, it's hard to put an exact number on there because there's so many variables, Brian, but bandwidth is one issue. The more bandwidth is a little bit more expensive, especially on satellite. If you're talking an HD signal, you're talking about a lot of space on that satellite, 10, right, sometimes 20 megabits, especially right, for sports. But LTN is much cheaper. So we're anywhere from 25% to 75% cheaper, depending on the bandwidth and the number of locations we drop the signal off to. I mentioned the full-time services. We do distribution. We can do hundreds of sites. So a lot of these channels that are looking at satellite for a distribution deal, may look at LTN now because they can drop it off to multiple sites, if it's not thousands of sites or millions. If you're going to millions of homes, that's where satellite has its place. The direct-to-home type of market, the dishes and direct TVs, mm-hmm, that's not where we play. But if you're going to 20 or 30 sites, 40 sites, 50 sites, LTN competes extremely favorable for satellite, and especially when you're talking about international feeds, because once, as I said, once you ingest that signal one time, we can drop it off multiple times anywhere in the world. So if you're going to do a feed, a European feed that's going up on, say, Hotbird, but you're also going up on Galaxy 19, two separate locations, well, we can take that signal and ingest it once and drop it off at the same time at Galaxy 19 and at Hotbird, at the uplink facility there. So that's two separate satellites. So if you're doing a feed from London or from, the Middle East, you want to bring it back to the United States, that's two uplinks.
Right.
So you're doubling your cost. LTN, you don't do it. That's not the way it works. So we can drop appliances off with decoders anywhere in the world and drop the signal off, and it makes it much more cost effective as compared to satellite.
All right. Now, let's talk about the future. A few minutes ago, you mentioned 4K, 3D. It sounds like the LTN is very scalable. How do you address new formats, new bandwidth requirements that come along?
Well, our technical team, Brian, is second to none. They are always looking at what's coming in the future. So we've been doing internal testing and preparing for the future. And I'm sure there's things that are working on in our lab right now that I don't know about. It always amazes me that whenever one of my clients comes to me and says, "Jeff, here's an issue that I have," our guys always seem to have an answer for it because they've already thought about it months and months ago or years ago. We're always on the forefront of what's out there. We attend all the conferences. We'll be at IBC. We go to NAB. We're part of the sports video group. We have a whole arm that handles nothing but sports. And that's a growing business for us. So, we're on top of what's going on in the market. And our technical staff, our engineering staff, as I said, is second to none. They're experts in the IP delivery of video with extremely low latency. So they know what's going on. So we are preparing now for what may happen a year or so from now.
Who are your partners that you work with? Because you don't just do multicast or point-to-point within an IP system. You do work with satellite uplinkers. Why is that important to your business model?
I like to call ourselves a hybrid network. Not that our network itself is hybrid, but it can be part of a hybrid network. We have multiple teleports domestically and internationally that have an LTN appliance and a decoder and encoder. So if we're, for example, a live shot studio may want to do a satellite media tour across the United States, where they're going to be talking to a lot of affiliates that may or may not have the LTN solution, we can backhaul the signal LTN from that studio back to one of our partner teleports. Then they can uplink it on satellite. We've done that for Liberty University football games, where they're going to some digital subcarriers. We drop it off, for example, to ESPN through the waterfront switch, via LTN to Masson via LTN. Last year was the Comcast Sports. They would take it via LTN, but the local affiliates would then pull it off a satellite. So we have satellite partners, again, both here in the United States and internationally. We have several in the Middle East. We have got a couple partners in Italy and in mainland Europe. So we have access to them where we can, you know, when satellites needed, we can incorporate LTN as a backhaul as part of that. Additionally, we're also part of switching hubs. So, you know, Encompass Waterfront Switch for any broadcasters that aren't a part of LTN, and not many are at this point. But if they're not, we can drop it off at Waterfront and people can connect with us there. We're also a part of Azorel HD switching hub. We're also part of the Hibernia network. And so we can connect to Vivix through Pittsburgh Teleport. We can connect to the switch through Waterfront. So we're really connected by having the LTN appliance at any location without having to pay monthly fees to connect to all those locations on a point-to-point fiber connection. We provide that ability for those customers to have access to all those teleports and switching hubs without having to have all those point-to-point connections.
Now, on your website, it says LTN Video Transport Service is the most advanced professional solution for broadcast quality live video transport. Why are you ahead of the other people trying to provide a service?
It goes back to our network. We are the only ones that have the fully managed private IP backbone network. And Brian, we have over 200 patents on this technology. You know, as I said earlier, there is no quality of service on the internet. And so when you're on the open internet, you're at the whims of where the video is going to be switched from. And so if you're just using that as your backbone, quality can suffer. It's either latency. Sometimes there's lost packets. Sometimes it's quality. So broadcasters have chosen LTN over those other solutions for their quality needs. I mentioned the Fox feed out of Vatican City is an example. When you want it and you want to make sure it gets there at a high broadcast quality, people choose LTN.
Well, today we've been talking with Jeff Wetaska, Vice President, Business Development, LTN Global Communications. If folks want to find out more about LTN, where should they go?
Our website is www.ltnglobal.com, or if anyone wants to talk to you, has a question for me personally, you can send me an email at jwateska@ltnglobal.com.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us today. I certainly have learned a lot about LTN. Very exciting times. You know, it's kind of viewed by hobbyists in the satellite industry as, oh no, there goes another satellite feed that we can't watch. But like you said, this is the direction that the industry is going, and broadcasters are choosing these methods for a reason. And we really appreciate your insight into the LTN global communications and kind of give us kind of an idea of why broadcasters are choosing this path. So thank you very much, Jeff, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
Join us here live every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for another exciting episode of Satellite Nation. Satellite Nation is a live, one-hour weekly call-in radio show about the technology that we love. Every week, Satellite Nation features top industry news, interviews with the people and companies behind the products and services that change the world. Listen live to Satellite Nation for the inside scoop on the products and technology that we use every day. Meet and talk with the dreamers, innovators, developers of yesterday's, today's, and tomorrow's technologies. Satellite Nation airs here on Satellite Guys Radio and on Access America Radio Network on Satellite Galaxy 19. Tune in every Wednesday night live at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Like us on Facebook. Let us know what you want to talk about, because it's your Satellite Nation.
It is now time for the Tech Corner. If you would like your question answered on the Tech Corner, please post your question on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio.
Hello, Michael. How you doing this evening?
Hello, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm
hope everybody at Satellite Nation's doing good out there.
Definitely. Hey, what do we have coming up on Tech Corner tonight?
Well, we got, you know, people get those SDR radios, the software-defined radio.
Right.
And you can buy them, you know, get the little USB dongle on eBay. Not very much, about what, $16-$17 shipped. And
yep.
It ships with a little antenna.
Boy, isn't that a beauty?
Antenna, but it ships that little thing. Yeah.
You know, I actually used that antenna. Wow. I thought I was going to use that antenna. You know, I went up to my daughter's wedding here a couple of weeks ago up in Seattle. So I did a road trip up from California. And I took it along thinking that, oh, yeah, along the way I'd fire up the laptop and do a little little monitoring. Yeah, right. I never even got a chance to get into the passenger seat. But, hey, I did... I did take it along with me, though.
I never got anything on mine either. Of course, I'm out in the country, too, here, you know, and I couldn't pick up anything. I thought, well, I'll get some of the strong, you know, police repeaters or fire repeaters or something, but I never got anything on that little thing.
Yep. Hey, I just wanted to remind everybody, if you want to call in this evening and participate in our conversation about antennas and SDR and scanners, go ahead and give us a call. Let's see. I have the first number here. If you want to save a dime and you're out of the country or something like that, call 347-327-9319. Do you have another number there?
Yep. And, if it's more convenient for you, you can call us at 1-877-SIGHTGUYS. 877-728-4897.
All right.
Be glad to take your call and chat with you.
Well, very good. So this evening we're going to be talking about how we can improve our reception on scanners and those little DVB-T USB dongles. So, you know, I think the first thing is we have to look at the back of our equipment, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Let's see what you got to start with.
And so what are some of the options on the back? You, we might have, what, like a BNC type connection, F-fitting.
SO239.
SO239, yeah. And also, then what is that little connector on these DVB-T USB dongles? I think most of them have, what, MCX?
I think it's an MBX.
Yeah, MCX. So those are very, very little things. And, you know, I don't want to be soldering. I don't want to be buying a special crimp tool. So where did you get your adapters from? I know where mine came from.
I know where mine came from. I got on eBay and found this supplier that had all kinds of different adapters. And so I just bought two or three of each one. And, well, some of them I didn't, but. And the different things. I got to go from CX connector, and then it goes out to SO239, and I had one goes to better wire. If I want to clip an outgrowth clip onto it, an F connector, and I think I got one that went to SMA and BNC just to have it in the toolbox.
Yeah, I got one of those too because, you know, I figured you never know when you might want to hook up to one of those outside network antennas. So yeah, I got these, and I think the most I probably paid for any connector was probably somewhere around $4 or $5, including shipping. Most of them were like about $250 or $350, I think.
Yeah, they was pretty cheap, and there was a couple that I guess had more metal in it or more aggravating to put together or something. And now, I'll say the ones, you know, I got, and I think you did too. You know, when I think of an adapter, I think of just a little tiny. I guess it depends on what kind of adapter it is, but it's just one thing to the other. Yep. Now, once I got the pigtails on,
yeah, and
I think that's what you got.
Yeah, so you know the pigtails are a great thing because tonight we're going to be talking about what can we use. And I notice we have a caller. Just want to acknowledge that we do have someone on from the 504, and we'll get to you in just a moment here. But what are some of the options? We know that the little DVB-T whip that they provide with the system is not pretty good at all. So what are some of the, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is something that most of us have on our roof or, you know, can pick up on Craigslist free, if not cheap. What would that be?
Your TV antenna. Most people's got one around.
Yep. TV antennas. What bands do they cover? UHF and VHF. Guess what scanners cover? UHF and VHF.
Exactly.
And another thing that a lot of people, Yeah, a lot of people don't think about the amplifiers that work for UHF and VHF. Guess what those are good for as well? Yeah.
Amplifying signals.
So one of the first things I did,
of course,
I got one of these adapters from the MCX, and the first connector I had was an F-fitting. And so hooked up my cable coming down from my outdoor TV antenna, and guess what? Really brought up my my signal.
Good signal.
Oh, yeah. Great. Now, another thing, you and I were talking about last night, other things that we've built. And some of these things that we can build, you can buy on the internet pre-built for $80 or $100, and that's a disc cone antenna. And think of a disc cone as what, like a cone on the bottom and a disc on the top is essentially what makes a disc cone.
Yep.
And those are really good.
Make it different ways, but yeah, that's essentially it.
Yeah, and you kind of can emulate that cone on the bottom. You had mentioned what? You've used some other items for building these.
Yeah, I've used what I've done, you know, is took an SO239 connector and just come straight out of that and with the whip, you know, or however long I want it for, you know, whatever, you know, in the VHF, UHF band. Mm-hmm. But somewhere kind of in the middle, because I'm just using it for a receive antenna. And then you got those little, you know, of course they make them now. They make some, it's just made like stick straight in and screw, you know, you got the screw to tighten it in. But if you want one, it's got the four little screw holes in it. That's what you want to get.
Right.
And you can take some welding rod. And you can put that in there, and you can get some solder, get you a good hot iron. But, you know, watch the center conductor. Don't get it too hot. It'll melt a little. Depends on what the insulate controls use. But,
so what length of welding wire?
Straight into it.
What are the length of the welding wire that you might use?
I'd say about
this?
2 feet.
Mm-hmm. Two. And I've seen them up to 3 feet. Yeah,
about 2 feet.
Now, what's important here? Because we're not transmitting.
Depends on, you know,
because we're not transmitting, we actually can make that length different lengths, and it will correspond with some frequency in that spectrum. Now you had mentioned that you get either the bare metal ends or the alligator, and we were talking about, you know, some things that we've done in the past, and something that I've done. If you have a house that has aluminum windows, you could actually clip the center conductor of that alligator clip onto the aluminum window.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, you might want to put a length of wire on the other end that's a couple feet long for a ground plane. But, aluminum window frames are great.
Yeah, just hang down.
What else on our house have you used for an antenna?
I use guttering.
Not the vinyl gutter.
I've even tried using it. No. I know. Love it's going to vinyl gutter now, but not vinyl guttering. And then if you got, I even took a, for receiving a small shed, you know, and tied it to it.
Mm-hmm.
The metal, you know, had a metal roof on it. You know, cleaned off a good little spot there of the aluminum and
right.
You know, clipped it onto it or screwed it onto it, and it worked really good. You know, when you're just receiving it, you can make a lot of things work.
Yep, I think anything metal that isn't attached to ground would make a good thing. I've seen people who've used the metal flashing underneath the shingles that ran across the roof, the peak of their house, or down the gutters.
Great idea.
Hey, could you go ahead and let's bring our caller in from the 504, and let's see who our caller is and what they can add to our Tech Corner this evening. Hello, caller 504.
Okay, this is Ralph in New Orleans.
Hey, Ralph, how you doing this evening? So,
hello, Ralph.
What can you add to?
I'm fine. I want to correct a couple of things what your previous caller said. Of course, Jeff is a salesperson. He will sell you anything. First of all, I am not an LTN customer.
Okay.
I'm using real fiber.
Oh, okay. Understood. I got some bad information then.
Yeah, I don't know how he got the idea that I'm an LTN customer.
Oh, okay. What else can we do for you, Ralph?
I'm not an LTN customer.
Okay. What else can we do for you, Ralph?
Let me point a couple of downsides to that service. let's put the truth out there. First of all, LTN makes you buy an encoder for $10,000. Only one machine is good enough for them. Anything else is garbage, they say.
Okay.
And I don't like that. I do not want to invest in their money, in their network. And second, bandwidth is very much an issue. They actually won't accept you if you don't have 10 megs up speed.
Well, I guess so, it's all about quality of service, correct?
And what he said with 2 megs with a DSL line, that does not work. They won't even accept you.
I don't think that he was suggesting that, but okay.
Simple. If you want to deliver in high-definition chat, you cannot shove a fat lady down a skinny pipe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get back to the tech corner. What do you have for information on scanners? Do you have a scanner down there?
No, I don't have a scanner. I have no need for one.
Okay. No ambulance chasing on your end, huh?
I never had to listen to a scanner or a police radio or something like that. I don't do nothing bad. It's not in my line of business. I'm not an ambulance chaser like some TV guys are.
Yep. All right, Ralph. Well, thanks for calling in and clarifying that. Thanks for calling in on that, and thanks for clarifying that, and we'll get to the bottom of that. I do apologize for that misstatement earlier.
Yeah, it does take bandwidth to use LTN. Right. If you don't have the bandwidth, they won't even talk to you.
Got it. Okay, well, thanks, Ralph, for calling, and we'll get back to this, and I'd love to have you on a future show sometime.
Okay.
All right. Take care now. All right. So what are some other options? What are some other options? You know, we were talking about using alligator clips, hooking on to gutters, onto window frames. We were even talking about some things using some weapons.
Yeah. Now, I know there's some guys going to be listening saying, hey, how's that going to work? Well, you know, got to remember, we're talking to the people out there, it's for receiving on. This is not if you're going to be transmitting or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, if it's transmitting, I'd be on a whole different skew. But anyway, a good way to get you some wire, you can buy 14, 16, 18 gauge wire, maybe even smaller if you can get away with it, and shoot up in some trees.
And we probably should clarify should be stranded wire, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't use solid, but stranded works a whole lot better, and it's just
has a little more flexibility.
Depending on how you do it, you know.
Yeah.
So
how do you get it up over that tree limb?
Well, what I used to do, and what I still do, is use a slingshot. I take like a heavy fishing weight, and stick in it and tie a fishing line to it and rig up something. Or you can buy these things too, ready made. That's got a little spool, place to put your fishing line, you put it on there and you shoot that up through the trees, and then you can tie your rope on or your wire on and pull it through.
So do your little boys cry when you take away their slingshot?
Oh, they ain't got one yet.
How old are your boys?
But, 5, 4, and 3.
Okay. Well, then I guess Dad's going to be stealing their. Guess you'll have many years more that you can steal their slingshots. What else? So, how high up in the tree can you get your line with a slingshot?
Well, I guess it depends. It always depends too on how good the slingshot is and all that. But it's usually around 60, 70 feet and a little bit more.
Now, do you shoot up the actual wire?
No, way. I do. I shoot the fishing line up through there, tied it, the spool or something.
Mm-hmm.
I made a little jig and it kind of mounts to the side of the. Or I've actually had guys hold it, stick some little long something through the center of a spool of fishing line.
Right.
Here, you hold this. Or it's not the spool, but just the thing going through it to hold it so it can unspool. and I'm going to shoot this, and you kind of hold your arms up, and I'm going to hold my arms up and shoot, and just don't move until it drops, you know?
Yeah.
But I've got things attached to the side of it, so I can do it, you know, one-handed, and like, mm-hmm. I said, you can buy them that way. About $50, you could buy ready-made slingshot with the spool on it, and comes with a fishing line. Of course, you can run to your local favorite place and buy more, you know.
Right. Now, do you use the actual fishing line to pull up the wire then, or do you heist up something a little heavier and kind of work up in your weights?
Yeah. Yeah, I take some, I forget what it's called. I know it's like carpenter twine or whatever they use for taking off stuff. And a little nylon twine, a little small stuff, about 3/16. And I'll tie that to it.
Okay.
To the fishing line once I get it. You know, I find the weight on the other side through the trees where I want it, and then I'll pull that through because it's really light and easy to pull through. And then I'll tie my wire to that and pull that on through.
Okay. Now, I guess another way.
Sometimes I use parachute cords.
Right. Now, I guess another way is, you know, I've been looking at these youth bow and arrows. So I'm thinking maybe on Craigslist, a used youth bow and arrow with one of those little fishing dispensers for the monofilament, because I have some tall trees that are probably 125, 135 feet tall, and man, I would love to get to wire up to the top of that.
Oh yeah, well, that's the way to do it.
Now, you had also mentioned another.
My friend got rid of.
You had mentioned what, a crossbow?
Yeah. He started off with the bow and arrow, and now he's went and he's telling me about it on the radio. He's got a crossbow rigged up now. He's went and bought him a crossbow for hunting bees. I got another idea of use for this thing. And he said he tried it, and it works really good, and he says he can get it to the top of any tree he wants to. It does a whole lot better than some.
Watch out for the neighbor kid on the bike when that arrow is coming down. So yes, guys, we're talking doing it safe here. So make sure you know what's on the other side of that arrow, and those arrows can fly. So make sure you know where you're aiming that arrow. Now, what happens on the other end of the wire? Because we know these trees, especially when you're up 75, 100 feet, those trees get a swaying in the wind. So how can you attach your wire? Of course, you wouldn't want to come down and pull it tight and connect it to your gutter, because you'd probably rip your gutter off the house.
No, you want to put a pulley on it and a weight and let it free flow.
Okay, and so when we're talking about a pulley and a weight, we're actually talking about like maybe the last, 10, 15, 20 feet you would then tie off to a monofilament or a heavier line actually to go through the pulley and then kind of let your cable kind of float loosely so it doesn't put any strain as that tree swings back and forth. Very good. So these are – then you would just solder on the center conductor to that middle conductor, and then you would attach the ground of your coax to any ground source, right? Just
anything ground or really, if you're going to go to long wire that way, it's what they call long wire. You got one long wire from the center conductor, and it's not a balanced system. So then the other end, you just attach to a ground source, earth ground source somewhere, and you'll really start picking up. All kinds of stuff.
Yep, but a big, 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 big word of warning. With that piece of wire up in there, you're kind of like Ben Franklin.
Yep.
When you see some lightning coming along, disconnect. Hey, we're getting close to
Make sure you unhook everything.
Yeah. Hey, we're kind of starting to get a little close to the end of the show here, so we should think about how we can wrap this up. So, when we're talking about antennas, we're talking about just receive antennas and ways that you can improve your reception on scanner. And these longer wires will work especially good on the lower frequencies. But, hey, they'll work on the higher frequencies as well, won't they?
Oh, yeah, very easily. And, let me mention this real quick. If you want to get into building your own antennas, AWRL has got a great book out. The AWRL Antenna Handbook. If you go to AWRL.org and go to, I think it's shopping or products or something like that. And if you go in there, I was looking at it earlier, but if you go there and go to the store, actually it's called AWRL Store I'm looking at now, and get the ARRR handbook. That's like the Bible for antennas. It covers from transmitting, receiving, and A to Z on everything that's been thought of and making everything by hand.
Now, I've seen those on Amazon used. So, you know, antenna technology does change, but not too rapidly. So even if you get an older...
Not too much, yeah, because if you go, like, right now, brand new, it's $49 to get a brand new book right now. But you can get them. This is the 22nd edition. You can go back several years and get an older one. And, you know, most of them's going to... Any of them's going to help you out, you know, and tell you stuff. They're, you know, it's... Don't have to go get the newest edition just for this.
Right, right. Well, let's see. So, let's see. We have a lot of great ideas coming up for the next shows here. And, you know, we just want to remind everybody to come on to Facebook. And what's the address? How would they find us on Facebook?
Facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio.
Okay, so come on over there and give us some...
Like our page and give us your comments, questions.
Yep, and give us some ideas for future tech corners of things that you want to talk about. And, you know, who knows, your subject might be up and you might be the go-to guy on the technology. So I think any technology is game, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, anything. Anything technology related. We talk about it.
Well, let's see. We basically say, whoa, I was watching the timer and that snuck up on us. So, hey, we're going to be back next week.
I was too.
Same time, same station on Satellite Guys Radio and on Access America. So we look forward to talking to you next week and having another great show for you.
Thanks for making this part of your week. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks to all that tuned in tonight. Join Satellite Guys Mike and Brian next Wednesday for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. And don't forget to like our page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio. Until next week, good night.